Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for the Money Smarts for You show. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. After years of working with clients, helping them save, preserve, and grow their assets, I wrote the book Money Smarts for You, The Basics. I wanted teens, millennials, growing families, and others to have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmartsforyou.com. That's M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S, the number 4 and the letter U.com. This month, the shows are about covering new experiences. Last week's show was about what you need to know before you buy a house. Next week, I'll cover what you need to know about planning for a new baby. And the last week of the month, the newness of college acceptances and how to handle them will be our topic. This week, I'll talk about the 5 things to think about before you get a new pet. So many facets of childhood revolve around the family pet, whether in the movies, television, or in your personal life. Whether it's Lassie or Old Yeller, Thomasina or Puss in Boots, the lore of animals as man's best friend are part of our culture. My life has always had a pet in it, with cats, a canary, fish, and dogs within my personal experience. I had a canary that sang along with classical music, a cat that knocked the picture above my bed off the wall every time I spent the night out, a dog that loved ice cream, and now 2 fiercely protective poodles. These animals love me unconditionally, comfort me in sadness, and spread joy throughout my life. I hope before you take on a pet to be part of your family or to be your best friend that you follow these 5 steps to adding a new pet to your household, so you too can experience pet ownership as a pleasure in your life. Know what the responsibilities are when you have a pet. Your small child may be pulling your heartstrings to get a pet. You walked by a pet adoption event for your local animal defense league. You just got married and want to have kids, but you aren't ready. While you were taking your daily walk or run, you came upon a stray dog with no tags or collar, and you think about taking it home with you. All of these are examples of circumstances that provoke pet ownership. But before you give in to your 3-year-old or your own heartstrings, think about the responsibilities of pet ownership very seriously. When I talk about pets, I'm referring to dogs, cats, birds, tame mice, gerbils, and fish. I am not talking about exotic or wild animals and reptiles that some people are attracted to and want to keep until they become too dangerous and then end up dumping them or giving them to an animal sanctuary. Most of my information today will focus on the 2 most popular pets, cats and dogs. All animals are cute when they're little, but not necessarily so when they're full grown. So keep in mind the future of your pet. How big will they be when they grow up? How long will their lifespan be? Large dogs live about 7 to 8 years, maybe longer. Small dogs usually live 12 to 15 years. Indoor cats can live 12 to 17 years, depending on how they are cared for in their later years. If your small child wants a dog, then make sure they understand that they will have to take care of it. Give it food each day, make sure it has fresh water, let it outside to go to the bathroom or take care of its business. Teach it good manners, play with it, and give it attention. I can't tell you how important it is to make time to play with your animals and give them attention. It keeps them from getting bored, and it keeps them from being destructive or retaliative. I wanted a dog when I was a little girl, and my parents went through the explanation of how I would be responsible for my dog. She was a small fox terrier, and I fed her each morning and refilled her water bowl, too. One day when a friend who was over at our home distracted me, I forgot to give my dog fresh water. It was late in the day when my friend went home, and my mother called me into the kitchen to talk to me about my dog. We went outside where she picked up the water bowl and showed it to me. It was empty. Then she said, "Your dog can't turn on the water faucet whenever she wants water to drink. She has to depend on you. I felt my heart in my throat. I was so ashamed, and I was so upset that I'd let my little dog down, that I had forgotten her needs. After that, I was so careful to make sure her water bowl was filled up daily. If you're looking for a dog for a child, consider a dog with an easygoing personality. Be wary of selecting dogs that are prone to aggression or dogs that have a history of biting. Be prepared to teach your child how to handle a small puppy or small dog. You want your child to be able to touch the dog without it being painful for either of them, so make sure your child knows not to pull the tail or ears, to touch the dog softly, and to not drag it around if it is resistant to walking with a leash at first. Kittens can be adorable, but do have sharp claws that you will have to trim regularly. Again, show your child how to properly touch an animal. Correct them if they're too aggressive. If you live in an apartment, think about how you will need to take your dog outside and walk it for 10 to 15 minutes, at least 5 times a day, in order for it to have a chance to do its business. If you think a cat might be better, remember, you will need to clean the litter box at least once a day. Since cats can be finicky about their bathroom arrangements, fish tanks need cleaning regularly. Gerbils and mice need their cages cleaned regularly. Bird cages also need regular maintenance. If you just got married, you may want to wait a year before you get a pet. There is enough of an adjustment to marriage with power struggles over many things. The last thing you need to add to the mix is an animal and the responsibility for caring for it. When you decide you're ready, then discuss beforehand who will feed it, water it, take it to the vet, where it will sleep, who will it walk with, and if there's an emergency, who will take off from work to get the pet to the vet. You may find as you discuss the realities of pet care that what you really want is unconditional love or warm cuddles from a nonverbal source. Maybe your marital relationship needs a bit of work, or you need to ask for what you want from your spouse, family, lover, or partner before you get a pet to fill in that void. If you have sucker written across your forehead and succumb to the stray that melts your heart, make sure you take it to the vet as soon as you've rescued it as possible. Many well-loved pets have chips embedded under their skin, chips that can be read electronically by most vet offices. If Fido escapes a fenced yard or Fluffy roams too far from home, the chip will tell the vet who they belong to and how to contact them. Many vets will hold an animal until the rightful owner can appear to pick them up, saving you the time and energy to do so. Police departments also have chip readers if you'd rather take the animal you find there for a quick scan. Also, animal control units have them as well. Obviously, if the animal is injured, the vet may be the first place that you need to go. 2, where and how will your pet live in your house? If you do not own the home you live in, then check the lease to make sure you are permitted to have pets, and if so, what kind and how many. Some neighborhoods limit the total number of animals you can have if you live there, whether you own or rent. Some condominium complexes limit the number of animals per unit. So make sure you know the rules before you move forward on getting a pet. If you're leasing, then pay the pet deposit and fill out the form before you get your animal. There may be some things you can't answer, like the description or the rabies tag number, because you don't have the animal yet. But this way, your landlord can discuss their procedures with regards to pets. For example, if you request maintenance for your apartment unit, you may have to put your animal in a cage or kennel for the day that the work is scheduled to be done. So the maintenance person does not have to worry about your cat running away out the door or your dog biting him. There may be exterminators who service the apartments regularly, and you may have to remove your animal from the premises to avoid exposure to the poisons used in that treatment. Additionally, knowing what your landlord expects and respecting the rules will prevent you from a premature eviction. Keep in mind, most pet deposits are not refundable because landlords frequently find carpet stains, ruined curtains, or flea infestations that they will need to treat using your deposit to pay for those treatments. If you decide on a puppy or kitten, you may need to house train them so that they can be good members of your household. Crate training for puppies, where you keep them in a crate or cage except when they eat, play, drink water, or go outside to do their business, may be a good way to train your dog during the first week or two of their arrival in your home. Older rescue dogs may also need to be crate trained just to make sure that they know that they're expected to do their business outside and not on the dining room rug. A cat or kitten may need to be kept in one room of the house, preferably a bathroom with a tile floor, so it can learn to use a litter box and knows where to find it before you release it to roam around your home. A crate large enough to hold a cat box can also be the new home for your furry purry cat until you're sure that they are litter box trained. Once your animals are house trained, then you can decide if you want them to sleep in their crate, under your bed, in the dog bed in your bedroom, on your bed, or in the kitchen next door. While you're crate training your dog, or house training your cat, create a sleeping area for them with some old towels or blankets, or if you have the money, you can spring for a cushioned bed. I am not mentioning dogs that are permanently kept outside for personal reasons. When I was 6 years old, I had a small fox terrier that lived outside because my mother did not believe dogs could be housebroken. One winter night, when the weatherman said temperatures would be in the low teens, I begged my mother to let me bring my dog inside, promising I would keep it in the kitchen or the bathroom where we had tile floors, and that I would clean up any mess the dog made overnight. My mother told me I could not bring the dog inside and warned me not to sneak the dog into the house. She and my father reassured me that the dog would be fine overnight in its bed that was under shelter. The next morning, my dog did not come when I called her for breakfast. She had died overnight. Please make sure if you leave dogs or cats outside in cold weather that you have a heater for them or that you bring them inside overnight. I understand that there are people who like to keep guard dogs to protect their property. If you're looking to acquire a dog for that purpose, make sure your dog has a safe, dry place where it can go in the event of bad weather. In the winter, make sure there is a heater that will keep the temperature well above freezing. Go through proper training with that dog and make sure it learns not to take food from strangers. Dogs are very protective, are often the target of poisoning and people throwing rocks and stones at them. So remember, if you want to keep people out, there will be some people who will abuse or attack your animal. Make sure everyone in your house knows the rules about where animals are allowed and not allowed in the house. Keeping a dog out of a part of your home usually involves a pet or baby gate that closes off a room to their access. Cats require closed doors to prevent their roaming into an area. Be clear also if you permit your animals on the furniture or not. When you have guests, you may find that placing your animals in their crates or another room may be best. At one time, we had a cat that figured out how to open a bedroom door by jumping up against it until the latch loosened enough for the door to open. So we had to put a hook on the door to keep it out of that room. Remember, they're pretty smart when they want to do something. 3, your pet's health, vaccinations, and spaying and neutering. When you get your new pet, one of the first things you want to do is take him to the vet for his vaccinations and a checkup. At that time, set up an appointment with your vet for your animal to be spayed or neutered. There are too many unwanted animals in this country, and one way to prevent animal abuse and neglect is to spay or neuter your pet at the appropriate age. Many cities offer free or low-cost spaying and neutering, so you may want to inquire about these services. Additionally, there are many nonprofits that offer these services at little or no cost to individuals of limited means. The American Animal Hospital Association Canine Task Force established that the core vaccines for dogs are rabies, canine hepatitis, canine parvovirus, and distemper. They're core vaccines because there's a higher probability that these diseases can be transmitted to people or can be transmitted easily to other animals. So that's one reason that these are recommended, that all dogs have these. Other vaccines, depending on your dog's risk of exposure to the diseases, are Bordetella and Leptospira bacteria vaccines. All dogs, regardless of the state you live in, are required by law to have up-to-date rabies vaccines. Cats also have their core vaccines that are rabies, feline distemper, feline callosity virus, and feline herpes virus type 1. As with dogs, all cats are required by law to have up-to-date rabies vaccines. Flea and tick prevention is essential for dogs or cats who live indoors and go outdoors as well. Without it, you will end up with a flea infestation in your home that will cost you thousands to eradicate. If you travel with your dog or cat, then make sure you have a copy of their vaccination certificates with you. Travel abroad has other requirements that individual countries will impose, including, in some cases, quarantine periods. If you do want to travel abroad and take your animal with you, please check with the different countries' customs and immigration rules, as well as with your veterinarian, to know what those rules are. It would be a shame for you to enter a country and find out that your animal has to be quarantined for 6 months when you're only going to be there for 10 days. Four, costs of pet ownership, food, vet bills, toys, and bedding. When you own a pet, they become a member of your family. You will provide food for them, medical care through your vet, a place to live, and if you want to keep your shoes in one piece, then you will provide chew toys and other toys to keep your animal busy and prevent boredom that can lead to bad behavior. Setting up your home for a new dog can require a dog crate, which costs about $120, then a bed, which is about $50, chew toys at about $12. You might want to buy some other toys. Those would be about $50. Food would be about $25, and then bowls for food and water, about another $25. A collar and leash could cost about $25, with a total of about $300 to start with, not including the dog. Your annual medical will run around $270, and food will be about $285. If you add in the spay and neuter fees at $235 or so, depending on where you live, and then add in training classes at around $150, then the first year can cost you about $1,250 for that first year of owning your dog. A large dog can run through 2 to 4 bags of dog food in a month, costing $50 to $100 per month. Chew toys for your dog, especially puppies, can run, as I mentioned, about $12 per month, with other toys more than that. Food for one cat for the first year can be about $150. Litter, about $200. Add in your first checkup and vaccinations at about $150 to $300, depending on what part of the country you live in. And then $150 for spaying or neutering your cat. Toys and cat treats can add on another $50 per year. A scratching post at $25, include another $50 for a carrying case, so you can transport your cat to and from the vet safely. And the first year, you will spend about $925 for your cat in order to get set up and to care for it. If you travel for business or pleasure, you will need to find someone to take care of your pet, whether in your home like a house sitter or at a full-service kennel or pet spa where your pet is housed with others and fed, exercised, and bathed before being returned home to you. House sitters can run from $25 a day for cats to $50 a day for dogs. Kennels and pet spas can be $50 to $100 a day, depending on where you live. Keep in mind also the time you will need to spend with your pet. Yes, your cat Fluffy may love to watch TV with you purring on your lap, but there may be times when she wants to feel her inner tiger while batting at a flying bird that you swing around from the end of a stick so she can jump and pounce on it. Dogs require a good deal more attention. Insisting on going on walks, fetching balls that you have to throw, and taking a field trip to the local dog park where they can meet up with new and old friends. Neglected animals can be very destructive, urinating on mom's favorite chair or chewing up her new strappy sandals. So make sure you have the time in your schedule to spend time with your pet before you decide to add a pet to your family. Five, ending your relationship with your pet. Unfortunately, not all pets live long, happy lives with their owners. Sometimes people find they really can't handle the animal they thought they could. Other times, people's lives change and their new spouse is allergic to cats or they're relocated to a new job in another town and they can't take the animal with them. If you find yourself in either of these positions, please do not just dump your animal in a nice neighborhood or leave it in the park or desert it on the highway. Think of the animal, no matter how much it did not work for you. Think about being humane in how you handle saying goodbye and finding that animal a new home. As soon as you realize that your relationship with your animal is not working, then contact your vet and find out if you can put up a for adoption sign in their office. Usually this will involve a picture of the pet, a description of what vaccines the pet has, whether it's been spayed or neutered, what kind of temperament it has, something like that. If your situation is not a selfish one, your vet may even permit you to leave the animal with them to find a home for it. Contact the kennel where your animal stays when you're away. Make the same request. Ask them if you can put up a sign. If your animal has a groomer, then contact them as well. Many breeds have rescue groups specifically for those dogs or cats and will willingly help you find the perfect home for your dog or cat. We adopted a dog from Poodle Rescue of Houston, and they required us to sign a contract that promised that if the dog did not work out for us, that we would return it to them. When I asked about it at the time, the executive director said that they had very few returns, but that they would rather have the dog back, no questions asked, than have someone just dump it or abandon it. It has been 9 years since we adopted that dog, and we are all very happy. If your dog is aging and has hip, eye, or other problems, and you can't afford to care for it, or you don't have the time to care for it, then consider that it may be time to say goodbye, and you may need to euthanize your animal. Your vet can guide you on this process. If they feel it is premature and understand that it may be financially or physically impossible for you to keep the animal as it deteriorates, they may be able to find a home for your pet in its last few years. Again, please do not dump your animal in a park or throw it out of your car on the side of the road because you don't want it anymore or it's too old or it's not fun to be with anymore. If the vet, groomer, or kennel can't help you, then consider the Humane Society, Animal Defense League, or your local animal control facility. 7 years ago, I was driving down a road that ran through a park near my home and saw this little brown animal running down the middle of the road. I looked twice at it because I thought it was a squirrel, a really ugly squirrel, but it turned out to be a dog. I pulled over to the side of the road, grabbed the towel I keep in my car, and ran after it. I was so afraid it would be run over by the big semis that were doing construction in the area, I just had to catch it. I noticed a vine wrapped around its leg and was able to step on the vine, stopping the dog from running away from me. Quickly, I grabbed him in a towel and rushed him to the vet. He was covered in sticker brambles and had a hole in his scrotum, probably from a puppy mill operation. My vet said that the dog was dumped because if it had been taken to a reputable vet with that injury, it would be known that it was from a puppy mill, effectively shutting them down. He weighed 5 pounds then and now weighs 10 pounds and is a fluffy, happy, lovable pet. Every day he brings love and affection into my life and that of my family, and I'm happy I stopped to rescue him. Before you add a new member to your family, make sure you have the time, the interest, and the means to care for your new pet properly. If you can't make that commitment, but you love animals, then consider volunteering at the Animal Defense League or Humane Society or any other animal rescue group. You can help feed the animals, care for them, play with them, bathe them, all kinds of things, and walk them as they wait for a new, loving, happy home. Many thanks to the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, also known as the ASPCA, for providing valuable information on pet ownership. For more, please go to their website, www.aspca.org. Thank you for joining me today for the Money Smarts for You show. Next week, we will cover what you need to know when you're planning for your first baby. The last week of the month, we'll be talking about college acceptances and how to handle them and how to evaluate which college you're going to go to. Please email me your questions or thoughts to Barbie@moneysmartsforyou.com, and we will cover them in future shows. Remember, take care of your money to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at moneysmartsforyou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.